Amen. Yes, a good day indeed, and thank you to Plaque Road Baptist for all that you've done for us. The accommodations and the food has been great. A good time and a dual purpose wedding and conference has been good. And we knew we loved being here so much. We're going to stay the weekend. Is that okay? Okay, good. Whether you like it or not. Anyway, let's go tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians 5, as we take a look at a thought as we continue. I've tried to be alliterated in my headings, my titles this week. We began Sunday with a perception of the Lord of the harvest, and we looked at the power and the preparation. And tonight, I want to look at the pleasure of the Lord of the harvest. I believe that God is pleased when we are involved with the harvest. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we'll take a look at a few verses of scripture here and then continue on and as we pursue this idea that God is pleased when we participate, when we are involved with the harvest. God wants there to be a harvest. We talked about that before. And sometimes we get so focused on the commission as being a duty, something we're supposed to do, that we fail to realize that God is pleased by this. God is pleased by the commission. God is pleased when a soul gets saved. God is pleased by our obedience. He's pleased by our faith when we involve those things and incorporate them into the Great Commission. Verse number 14 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that we would be ever mindful that the Great Commission and the harvesting of souls is something that you have dear to your heart. You are pleased when we are involved in the Great Commission. Oh God, may it be that we henceforth no longer live our life in the flesh for self, but rather unto Christ who lived and rose again. May we live unto him, pleasing him. Oh God, I pray your blessing upon the evening. Bless this church as she wraps up this conference, and not to move forward without obeying and trusting you and applying what you've taught. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we find Paul writing and telling what motivates him, what constrains him, what holds him together, what keeps him going from one city to the next. And he says it's the love of Christ that constrains. And because of Christ, because Christ died for him, Paul says, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for the one that died for me. And what a great example he was. Go to Revelation chapter 4. We mentioned this verse the other night about our purpose and how God created us to please him. Revelation 4, verse 11 again says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God created us to please him. And one thing I've learned in life, when I got saved and I realized, okay, God died for me, I'm to live for him. That makes sense. It's right. And I find that when I do that, I'm pleasing him. And I find that when I'm pleasing him, I'm pleased. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced the joy that when I'm obeying God, when I'm trusting him, he is pleased and so am I. It works well in a household. When my children obey me, I am pleased. And if I'm pleased, I trust they're pleased as well. And their relationship is good and it's strong. Of course, when disobedience or mistrust occurs, then things don't go so well. I believe that missions is all about loving God. And may we be motivated to love God. One thing I've learned through the years, I don't know if I already said this week or not. I'll say it again if I already have, but if I haven't, I want you to understand something that God has taught me. When I went to New York 15 years ago, I had a great love for my people. A great love. I still do. And in loving the people, that's good. But there's a greater motivator. And not when I went there, it wasn't that I didn't love God. But that motivation wasn't as strong as it ought to be. So one of the greatest things that God has taught me about Him calling me over to the other side of the world is I do it for because I love God. And that needs to be, it must be, the greatest motivation, greater than our love for lost men. And that ought to be great. But our love for Christ ought to be greater. How about having a love for a particular field, a particular location? And that may be great, but those kind of motivators won't last. It's the love of Christ that must be there. And missions, I think missions is the great display of this love, about loving God first and loving man second. But here are some particulars I want us to look at tonight when it comes to pleasing God. I already mentioned them, and I want to take some moments now to visit them and take a look at some things. But first of all, missions is about obeying God. Now go to 1 Samuel with me for a moment. 1 Samuel 15. I've got some scripture verses for you tonight. Hopefully it'll help keep you awake too. But look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. You know this principle, you know this truth, but we're going to visit it again, as we will some others. 1 Samuel 15, in verse number 22, here the Bible says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." What a great truth that is being brought out here because of King Saul's life, and Samuel points it out. And Samuel is saying that we know that God is pleased with offerings. I mean, we see that throughout the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. God is pleased with offerings, but there's something that God is more pleased by, and that's our obedience. You know, as a father, I'm more impressed. You know, my child may get me a gift for my birthday or for Father's Day or Christmas, and I enjoy that. Sure, oh wow, you know, my child they made this or they purchased this thing for me. But I wouldn't be so pleased if their life was marked with disobedience, because that's more important to me as a father. I'd rather a child that obeyed me, if I had to choose, than give me gifts. And God is that way. And sometimes we can be guilty. Let's apply this now to missions. Sometimes we can be guilty. Oh, I'll give my offering of money to get the missionary or the evangelist around the world, but I sure hope God doesn't expect me to obey Him and witness to somebody. To obey is better than sacrifice. God wants us to be obeying Him. God wants us to be invested in obedience. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, I heard your pastor spent a whole month preaching on missions. And for guest speakers, that means I have no text left, right? He took them all. And that's good, because we can just hit the high points then and draw some things together, since you've been studying all of this. But perhaps you didn't see this one. Maybe you did. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16 says this, "For though I preach," Paul writing here, "for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul is describing this sense of responsibility, a weight upon him, a woe if I don't preach the gospel. Look at verse number 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. I believe he's saying, if I do it willingly, then God will reward me. God will bless me. But even if it's against my will, I still have to do it. I still have the responsibility. This dispensation, this getting the gospel out, is still committed unto me. And God is committed unto his church, the dispensation of the gospel. Either way, whether you want to do it or not, whether willingly or not, it's still a responsibility for this church to get the gospel around the world, starting in your Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Look at Acts 26 with me. Paul writing here, giving his testimony, both in Acts 22 and in Acts 26. And in chapter 26, he's recounting before the king of what happened when he was saved. And we're going to jump down to verse number 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet. He's referring to what Jesus had said to him. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Amen. When we go to witness, we want people's eyes to be opened with truth. We want them to go from darkness to light by the truth of the Word of God, by His salvation, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And oftentimes we stop reading there, don't we? Because we just finished the narrative and we preach on that. Look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Paul said when God saved him and assigned him this responsibility of preaching the gospel, of being a witness, he says, I was not disobedient. He took it upon himself. He has this responsibility. He's not going to live for himself anymore, but live for God and open his mouth and preach the gospel. Missions is about obeying the gospel, about preaching the gospel. As we've heard this week, sometimes it's not even in an organized time, but missions should be who you are all week long. The people that you meet regularly, especially, but even with strangers when opportunity exists. And so missions is about obeying God, and when we obey God, He's pleased, as we saw there in 1 Samuel, and when He's pleased, we're pleased. I don't know about you, but there aren't too many times, I don't know if I can even think of one, where God has allowed me to engage in a witnessing opportunity that I don't walk away pleased. Been there? You understand? And a lot of times I have created some fears in my own mind. Oh, this isn't going to go well. Oh, I'm afraid to. It's just not going to turn out. Even when we do organized, some of the folks that the Fultons, they remember our times of outreach and going out as a group. And there are times, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to. It's awkward knocking on someone's door. But we do it. Going on the street, what if they don't like me? There's so many times, oh, I don't feel like it, I'm tired. And we have all these excuses that we just heard about, all these distractions. But there's never been a time that I can remember that I didn't walk away from that witnessing opportunity, from that time of outreach, pleased. Such a blessing, such a pleasure. Why? I know my Father's pleased. The Lord of the harvest is pleased when we obey. Look at Romans 10 with me. Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 13, we know this famous verse. This was the last verse I read before I got saved 25 years ago. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that was all I needed after God had been dealing with me for a long time, and other scripture verses got to this verse, and that was the thing that God's Spirit used to just bring me to that point. Later on in my Christian life, I'd read the next verse, verse 14, which says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" The preacher is necessary. Someone. God wants to use someone. It pleases God to use someone. And if we're willing to be used of God, he'll be pleased. We'll be pleased. Will you be the one that will preach the gospel? Verse 15, well, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Here we see that there's also a sending. It's the New Testament church that is sending people out with the gospel. That's a responsibility. But oh, the pleasure, oh, the joy that God has, and therefore we have, when someone is sent out with the gospel. What a privilege this church has in sending out a missionary. Something I don't believe you take it lightly. I believe you see the depths of the responsibility, but the opportunity and the joy of sending a man out. And your pastor's been talking about in the future, when the Lord raises up the next evangelist, team of evangelists to go out. The joy, and this is, it's a responsibility, but it's an opportunity to send, to go, to be involved, to obey the Lord, and to be thinking about the next generation. You see, when we obey God, he's pleased. You know, oftentimes we just look at the Great Commission as duty, but I want us to walk away tonight thinking about this. It's pleasing to God. It pleases him. Sometimes we're motivated by duty, right? But being motivated by devotion is even better. To think that God is pleased. To think that when I obey him today, by going and opening my mouth, he is pleased. Oh, let that motivate us. How about this? Missions is not just obeying God, but it's also trusting God. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll expound upon this. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. Hebrews 11, verse number 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Here we find that God is pleased by faith. God is pleased by obedience, and God is also pleased by faith. Missions involves faith. It involves trusting God. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 there in the Old Testament. You say, does missions involve faith? Absolutely. You know, we go forth with the Word of God, I hope that we are trusting that God will bless the seed that we are sowing. Sometimes when we're in a culture where you don't see a lot of results, don't we fall back on this truth that, as it says here in Isaiah 55, that God's Word will not return void? Look at verse 10. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Our responsibility is to take the Word of God and sow the Word of God in the hearts of people. We may not see the results today, but in time, God's Word will accomplish something. And if we don't believe that, why are we even speaking? But missions is about faith. Yeah, I believe that when I give someone the truth of the Word of God, at some point in their life, God's Spirit is going to take that truth and deal with them. And I believe it's right then. We used to joke around at Liberty Baptist about messing up people's lives. We get back from outreach or maybe on a Wednesday night sharing prayer requests about how we messed up someone's life by giving them truth. Because if you stop and think about this, when you give someone the truth of the Word of God, they're not going to forget it. Do you remember when someone witnessed to you? Do you remember when someone who was the first one to open their mouth and give you some truth that you'd never heard before, whether you grew up in church or not? 2 years ago in New York City, I met with the king's staff in the hotel lobby. And I was supposed to have a time with in praying before the delegation of the king and his staff as they go to the UN meeting every September, and it didn't work out. I was on the schedule, it didn't work out. And along the way, as we were delayed, I didn't know what was going on. But okay, I said, Lord, you must have a reason. You must have a reason why I'm here and this is not unfolding as it's supposed to. Of course, now I know that's just how they function. Things just don't go according to plan. That's just African life. But then I couldn't figure out why things were going according to plan. Okay, Lord, what do you have for me to do? And I'm standing in this lobby. There's about 30 to 40 of the king's staff down there in that lobby. And I'd already greeted a number of people that I've met before. And what am I going to do? And I just felt impressed of the Lord to go over to this place. There was a chair and a couch in this hotel. And I go over and I sit on the end of this couch. Okay, the Lord must have someone's going to come. And within 60 seconds, there's a man sitting down. I was in the chair, and he's over on the couch. Okay, Lord, I understand. So I struck up a conversation with this man. I don't know who he is, but I start talking to him. And in time, we have a tremendous conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was just, you ever been in that witnessing opportunity where the Lord is in it and it just flows? It just goes. I mean, it's effortless. And that was one of those times, just an effortless conversation. And we're talking and we have this great conversation. And then he says, when you get to Swaziland, come see me. Well, I get to Swaziland. And I had, some of you probably remember my prayer letters. It took us 6 months to get our paperwork. And it should only have taken 2 to 3 weeks. It was what a long process. I could tell you the story later, but just how God made it possible. But that man became the one key man that God used in getting the ball rolling for me to get my paperwork. And what's interesting is not just that, but I put on my suit and I go down to his office. He works at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and I get to see him in his office. And immediately when he sees me, I mean, it's barely, hi, how are you? And he recalls our conversation to a T months later. I don't remember what I talked to him about. I just knew we talked about the Lord. I don't remember. But here's the point. People remember when you witness to them. The word of God does not return void. People remember when you give them truth. They'll remember it long after you've forgotten. If you look at the rich man in Luke 16 when he's in hell, he knew why he was there. And he wanted Lazarus to go warn his brothers that they would repent. In other words, he heard the message of repentance, but chose not to. And so he remembered. And I think that when we witness to people, it's going to stick with them for the rest of their life and into eternity. They won't forget. When you give them truth, you've just messed them up. Because they'll never be the same again now that you've delivered them truth. And we've got to have faith. We've got to be able to see the potential and the power of the Word of God when we open our mouths and by faith we witness to somebody, knowing that this has the potential of changing their eternity. Sometimes we're too scared about what they're going to think of us when we ought to be more concerned about what's going to happen to them. We need to have faith that God will bless his seed because his seed will not return void. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Missions is about faith. Faith pleases God, and when God's pleased, we are pleased. Here's something else in 2 Corinthians 10. How about what God not only would bless our seed sown, but God would bless our resources sown? In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, when it comes to by faith in verse 15, Paul said, not boasting of things that are measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. When by faith we give, by faith we enable, by faith we help get the missionary, the evangelist, to the regions beyond us, does that not take faith? Faith that I believe that when I invest my resources, when I invest prayer, when I invest finances, that God is going to bless it and that God is pleased. And when God's pleased, I'm pleased. Is it a blessing that about faith? I mean, faith is confidence in God's character. I believe that he is and that he'll reward me. Faith is all about trusting him. And when God answers and when God does, we're pleased. Why? We trusted in him. And we can be pleased even before God gives the answer. Because just when we trust him, we're pleased. Why? Because he's pleased. Go to Ephesians 5. Here's something else. Ephesians 5. How about the investment of our time? I would have to say that time is my most precious commodity. And the older I get, the more precious it gets. And there's one thing I don't want to do is to waste the time that I have. I don't want people to waste my time. And I don't want to waste my own time. I don't want to waste other people's time. Time is too precious. And when it comes to missions and it requires the giving of my time, but time sown for the Lord and for missions is time well spent. In Ephesians 5 in verse 15, it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, some would say to you that you're wasting your time being in church every night this week. You probably have some coworkers that think you're a little weird. Or maybe they're used to you being weird. You invest your time in evangelism. You're wasting your time, the world would say. You invest your life in going to a foreign field. They'd say, oh, you're wasting your life. You want to be a full-time servant. You give, even if you're not full-time, but you give yourself to serving God. They think, the lost think that you're wasting your time, but you're actually redeeming the time. You're investing, you're laying up treasure in heaven. And by faith, we believe that God will bless our time that's invested. And I believe that when we trust him, he's pleased, and when he's pleased, we're pleased. I want to give you a couple examples, and we're going to bring this to a close. But here's the bottom line. Missions pleases God. Go with me to Hebrews again, chapter 11. I want to show you a couple of examples that make an application to you directly. By obedience, by faith, missions pleases God. Here's an example, and it's not your typical example because he's an Old Testament man. But in Hebrews chapter 11, he makes the hall of faith. In verse number 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In what ways did Enoch please God? Well, let's go back to Genesis. Doing all I can to keep you awake, right? After that wonderful meat. Boy, I really enjoyed that moose meat more than I did a few years ago. That was delicious. Genesis chapter 5. Verse 24 describes what's going on with Enoch. Genesis 5, verse 24, it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, what do we know about Enoch's life? Not a lot. We know this according to Hebrews chapter 11, that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Genesis 5 says that he was a man that walked with God. Why does a man walk with God? Because by faith, he wants to, by love, he wants to spend his time with God. His friends, his family, maybe they think he's a little strange and he wants to invest his time that way, but it pleased God. But go to the book of Jude. There's something else about Enoch's life that the Bible tells us about that I believe also gives indication as to why God was pleased with his life. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, of course, if you look at verse number 14, Jude verse 14 says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. One thing I believe we can conclude from the book of Jude is that Enoch was a preacher. He was someone that proclaimed the truth of who Jesus Christ is. His future. He's coming back one day. And he's going to deal with your sin. Enoch was a man that was witnessing. He was a man that was proclaiming the truth. He walked with God. He preached. And God said, he's pleased with him. Enoch becomes a good example for us. Look at Philippians chapter number 1. Paul becomes a good example. So many places we can look at in Paul's life, and he's pleased, and God's pleased with Paul, and Paul's pleased with God. I believe Enoch was pleased with God. He walked with God. God was pleased with Enoch. Enoch's walking with him. He's preaching for him, and they have a good relationship, so much so that God brings him home, that he wouldn't even taste death. Here the Bible talks about Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul has a life of preaching. He's walking with God. We can conclude that God is pleased with Paul. Paul is pleased with God. They have this great relationship. And he says, hey, I have this desire to go. You know, he finished his course. I'm ready to go. But to stay behind and help you is more needful. And so I'm willing to stay. God is pleased. Paul was pleased. God was pleased with Enoch. Enoch was pleased with God, especially as we see these men involved with evangelism. Now, what about you? Go to Matthew 25. What about you? Let's ask ourselves this question. Number one, how's my walk with God? Am I pleased with God? Better question is God pleased with me? There's a song in the old Baptist hymnal that talks about that. The last line says, is my master satisfied with me? The verse goes, I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. And I don't know if you know this song. Brother Chris, if you don't know, it's a great song. I am satisfied with Jesus. He's done so much. And it's all these verses about all that God does for us. But the last line says, but I wonder if my master is satisfied with me. It's convicting. Is he satisfied with me? Do I please him? Well, there's a direct correlation between walking with him and serving him, obeying him, preaching, witnessing. It all goes together. In Matthew 25, verse 21, you know that the account of the talents. This is what the Lord says in verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I believe we can have joy in this life and one day enter into the everlasting joy. I believe there's great joy when we are involved with missions. Why? When we obey God, when we trust God, he's pleased, he's joyful, we're pleased, and we're joyful. Look at Luke 15, last scripture, we'll close here. Luke 15. Here's why, especially in this area of evangelism. Why is it so pleasing? Because it's all about the Lord of the harvest. We back up and say, why did God put man on earth in the first place? It's so that we could have a relationship of love with him. He loves us. We love him. We have this relationship. Sin came. Sin destroyed that relationship. Put man into darkness. Put man into a spiritual death. Put man in opposition and separation from God. But of course, that's why God in his perfect mind and his omniscient mind from eternity past had already determined that his son Jesus Christ would go to the earth and his blood would be shed to pay the price so that the relationship that God wants with man is made possible. It's all about that relationship being restored in salvation. And once we're saved, so that others could be saved too. It's what it's all about. The Lord of the harvest is looking to save souls. Here in Luke 15, verse 3, and he spake this parable in them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Talk about God being pleased. Talk about God being joyful. I mean, it tells us here that all of heaven is filled with joy when one soul repents. I can try to imagine it in my mind's eye about just the chorus of singing praise to the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood in providing the way for man's sin to be washed away clean, as Revelation 1:5 says. And all the joy, but why is there that joy? Because it starts with God himself. He's pleased. He's filled with joy. A soul's been saved. And so likewise, he wants us, when we get saved, to turn around and have compassion and reach those people around us, our coworkers, our neighbors, family, friends. We're to reach them with the same gospel, obeying God and trusting God and giving them the word of God so they too can be saved. We can have joy in the process, and when they get saved, oh, the joy that God has, that all of heaven has, that we can experience, that that soul can experience. The Lord of the harvest is pleased by that. And may that motivate us, our love for Him, pleasing Him, may it motivate us today, tomorrow, throughout the next week, and on. Be motivated by pleasing God. It's more than duty. I mean, if not, we still have a duty to do. But there's an opportunity here for us to please God. Father, we thank You tonight for the opportunity to please You in obedience, in faith, in serving You, in preaching. Oh God, that we could be like Enoch, who walked with You, who preached for You, and says You were pleased. Father, may we please You with our lives through simple obedience and faith in this area of missions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.